Lord, we want to experience your wonderful victory over death. We praise your wonderful word which you have spoken to us. Lord, we are thankful to you for your word. Continue to speak to us richly in this time of fellowship, Lord. Lord, let all death flee from us. Renew the fellowship with you completely. Let us together read a chapter of reading Numbers 19, 14 to 22. Fourth book of Moses, Numbers 19, 14 to 22. This is the law: when a man dies in a tent, all who come into the tent and all who are in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel which has no cover fastened on it is unclean. Whoever in the open field touches one who is slain by the sword, or who has died, or bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. And for an unclean person, they shall take some of the ashes of the heifer burned for purification from sin, and running water shall be put on them in a vessel. A clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water, sprinkle it on their tent, on all the vessels, on the persons who were there, or on the one who touched a bone, the slain, the dead, or a grave. The clean person shall sprinkle the unclean on the third day and on the seventh day. And on the seventh day he shall purify himself, wash his clothes, and bathe in water, and at evening he shall be clean. But the man who is unclean and does not purify himself, that person shall be cut off from among the assembly, because he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of the purification has not been sprinkled on him. He is unclean. It shall be a perpetual statute for them. He who sprinkles the water of purification shall wash his clothes, and he who touches the water of purification shall be unclean until evening. Whatever the unclean person touches shall be unclean, and the person who touches it shall be unclean until evening. Lord, cleanse us. Lord, we want to be cleansed from all death. It's truly astonishing if we read these verses how often the word unclean comes. You can read it almost in every verse. We see death or unclean. And as we've seen, death is truly the worst uncleanliness. There are many ways to become unclean, but the death is the worst one. How can we see that? It says in verse 14, if someone dies in a tent, alone if someone goes into this tent, he is unclean for 7 days. You don't even have to touch him. You just have to go in the vicinity of this dead person. And already you're unclean for 7 days. This happens very quickly. Death spreads out so quick. And so quick you are unclean because of death. And this needs to give us a sensibility for death. We've seen what spiritual death means to us today. It's not just if someone dies physically, but there is the spiritual death. We've seen that when the people of God were mumbling, when it was lacking belief, when it was rebelling against God. All of this brought forth the death. And this is very contagious, as we have seen. Quickly, death has spread amongst the whole people. It exponentially expanded. This spoke very strongly to me as a warning. Also here, if someone dies in a tent, on one hand, all who are in the tent are unclean. But then it says also in verse 15, every open vessel which has no cover fastened is also unclean. This also shows that we can't be so open for all things, because else death will quickly enter. If we're open for all things and everything, then we become unclean very quickly. It's so strong here. It says, cover fastened. It needs to be fastened. We need to have a solid protection that not everything enters into us. And verse 16, it says, whoever in the open field touches one who is slain by a sword, or who has died, or the bone of a man, or grave shall be unclean 7 days. And this shows there are different ways of death or different types of death. One was slain and the other one is dead for a long time now and became bones already. So this verse shows it doesn't matter what kind of death, it all makes unclean. Something that's dead for a long time, it might be clearer that it is death, but something which has just been slain, that also makes us unclean. And so we also, as priests, we need to be able to separate, to discern the things that make us unclean, which death is out there that makes me unclean. We need to exercise our conscience. We've read in Hebrews 9 this cleaning, the cleansing, cleanses our mind of dead works. And so we need to learn to let our conscience react, not just because of sin, if we've done something wrong. I often tell the Lord, oh Lord, I'm sorry, I repent. If I've done something wrong, but so often I have no problem with being death or touching death. Does my conscience react if there's mumbling in me? My conscience needs to react. Or if there's rebellion against brothers or saints, then also my conscience needs to react. Or if we just talk about nothingness, does my conscience react? We read about Ephesians 4, verse 17, where it shows where death starts. For example, if in the meeting there's no life, does my conscience react that I wake up in my spirit? This is very important. The Lord may truly sensitize our conscience to be aware of death. the next verses show what we do when our conscience became unclear through death, as it says in 17. And for an unclean person, they shall take some of the ashes of the heifer burned for purification for sin, and running water shall be put on them in a vessel. We spoke about the ashes and all the things that are inside and the pure heifer which was burned completely. This shows there's nothing good in us. Everything in us needs to be cleansed from death. It's added this, the wood, the cedar wood, is the biggest plant in the Middle East. Oh. The Lord, who is so big and stands in front of everything without any foulness. And at the same time, the Aesop, which is so fine. We heard about how it comes out of the wall. And one is so small and one is the biggest plant. And this shows how the Lord was prepared to make himself the lowest. The highest one became the lowest. And these ashes were taken and mixed with living water. I enjoyed this so much, not just any water, but living water. And it also says in a side note, it's flowing water. Living means it's flowing. It's not just water which you take from some water tank or something, or which is standing around for days, but it is flowing water. And this is how it is with water, right? It's only good if it's fresh, if it's flowing. This reminded me of the stream of water of life in Ezekiel 44, which we all probably know, but it's very good to look at these verses again to see where does this living water come from. Who knows? Where does this living water start to flow? The source of this living water is truly at the house of God. If we want to have this life and this water, it only happens if we have fellowship with the Father and the Son, because only there can we receive this fresh water. I do not want to build any water tanks based on experiences which I've done years ago, but every day to get fresh water at the house of the Lord. This is necessary for the water of purification. The living water is necessary, else there's no cleansing. And then we see also this water, it flows in front of the house towards east. It flows past the altar, past the gates. And the further the water flows, the deeper it becomes. At the beginning, it's till the ankles, then to the waist, and at the end, Ezekiel cannot even walk through it anymore. And this shows to us the question, how much are we in this living stream? Are we still just outwardly, or it's just till the ankles, just a little bit? Or are we completely grasped by the Lord? So praise the Lord for this stream. Wherever the stream reaches, what does it say? Everything will become living. Everything will become well, healthy. Praise the Lord. Even in verse 18, it speaks about this stream ends in the Dead Sea. Is it possible to make the Dead Sea living? Since it's dead for a thousand of years, nothing is living there. But if this water reaches there, the water of the ocean becomes healthy. And this shows to me, maybe there is a death in me that is slumbering there for a long time, but this water is able to make everything alive, no matter where it comes. Everything that it reaches will start to live. Praise the Lord. In verse 11, it speaks about an exception. What is the exception? What can this water not make living? May we be those through whom the Lord, may we be those who the Lord can truly flow through and make alive. Also in Revelation 22, we can see at the beginning it speaks about the stream. And where does the stream flow out from? Out of the throne. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. The source is here the throne of God. And Korah and all of those who rebelled there, they were not in front of the throne of God. They were sitting on their own throne. They thought, they are so good. And this showed me that if I want to have or receive from the stream of life, I need to come to this throne of God. I need to live in his kingdom, and I may not tolerate a rebellion in me. These are the sources of living water there. And if we come back to Numbers, it not just speaks about living water, but living water combined with the ashes. It goes together. You need the ashes and the water. And this shows that the flowing water is an image of the Holy Spirit, and the ashes is an image of the completed works of Christ. And these two need to come together. It also shows that one is the Word of God, which brings forth life, and the other one is the testimony of Christ. And both of these need to come together. It's not enough to have much of the Word, but the Word must also become my experience, my reality. This water has this substance, the reality of Christ. And then it says here in Numbers 19:18, a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water, sprinkle it on the tent and all and the vessel, on the persons who were there. A clean person, I treasured this so much. A clean person. I want to have the desire to be such a clean person. It's not easy for the Jews to find a clean person. Maybe you've heard of it. They wanted to do the cleaning ritual, but they were missing one person who was a clean person and has never touched death in his life, and it was really difficult. It wasn't easy, but they actually found someone. It's really astonishing. There is such a person who is, according to Jewish law, a clean person. But there shouldn't just be one, but amongst us there should be many clean men, clean persons. And they shall take hyssop. And this Usopp we've seen yesterday is something small, a small bush. And here it is about to bring someone back to life, someone who was blemished with death. Someone who dealt with some sort of death. And then it's about renewing this person. And that's why Paul says in Galatians 6 verse 1, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritually restored, such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you are also be tempted." Spiritually restore. So we need to restore someone. Spirit of gentleness reminded me of this Aesop. I can only build someone back up or restore them if I have this gentle spirit. And then he also says, consider yourself, let you also be tempted. Because the one who sprinkles becomes unclean until the evening. So we need to really be careful. If we have a burden for someone, we need to be mindful that we do not become tainted ourselves. Tempted. Usopp, praise the Lord. Usopp is like a sponge. It sucks up a lot. Also, when the Lord was on the cross, they took vinegar with usopp, and they soaked it. It soaked up the vinegar, and they gave it to drink. So it shows this usopp is so has such a suction or function. So if I take a sponge, then much water will come up out, not just a few drops. Praise the Lord for this usopp. Also, David had this experience in Psalm 51, verse 9. Numbers 19:19, the clean person shall sprinkle the unclean on the third day. So we should always have this usopp and cleaning water with us to clean each other. And the third day shows the resurrection of the Lord. It shows that when the Lord resurrected on the third day, but we don't stop there, and it says on the third day and on the seventh day. So they clean. We need to make sure that the person really pierces through all the way to life. And then the warning in verse 21. Actually 20. But the man who is unclean and does not purify himself, that person shall be cut off from among the assembly, because he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of the purification has not been sprinkled on him. He is unclean. This showed to me that if I'm in debt, it does not just concern me. But we see here that the sanctuary of the Lord was defiled. Lord, I do not want to defile your sanctuary, bring death into your house. We need much cleaning. We live in a world which is filled with death. No matter where we go, the advertising is full of death and brings death so quickly. And that's why we need this cleaning richly, a lot. maybe we go out of this church, meeting, sorry. And 5 minutes afterwards, something comes up. We need to learn to stay.
Dieses Reinigungswasser für die Priester, das haben wir häufig gesagt, aber es steht weiter vorne in 4. Mose, und zwar in 4. Mose 8. Und ab Vers 5
Numbers.
In 4. Mose 8 die Weihe der Leviten beschrieben.
Bevor 8 Vers 5 speaks about how the Levites had to cleanse themselves in a ceremonial. And I can only encourage you all to read these verses about the dedication of the Levites. And it says about their first step that they need in verse 6, take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them ceremonially. 7, thus you shall do to them to cleanse them, sprinkle water of purification on them, and let them shave all their body, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. It says, you sprinkle water of purification. So before the Levites were able to serve, they needed the water of cleansing, purification. And that showed me in the house of the Lord, I do not want to do anything without being cleansed beforehand. I might be doing a lot of things, but how is my inner circumstance? And it's so good. At first, there's the water which purifies us from sin. Amen. So we can serve full of life in the house of the Lord. Lord, fill us with your life. Thank you for the stream of water of life. O Lord, we humble ourselves in front of you, that you could make us all to such spiritual people, priests who are able to sprinkle so that there is no death in your house. The holy place of the Lord shall stay clean and pure. Lord, we want to get rid of all sin. Help us from all unwillingness. Lord, we also want to build this wall. Thank you that this hyssop is growing in there. Thank you, are also giving us this gentleness. Lord, thank you also for these these vessels, these locked vessels. Lord, we thank you for your balance. It's so tall and big and strong like this wood, but also so fine. Lord, thank you that you are the right one in each situation for us. It's not so easy to be a clean person. In this chapter, as Thomas mentioned, the word unclean or unclean is written so often. And suddenly this clean man shows up, a person. Who of us can say he's a clean person? Rainer isn't here, but even Rainer, this is a word play in German, clean is rein. I'm asking if Rainer is a rein man, Rainer is a clean person. Esther, you don't dare to answer to this, right? A clean person. Whom of us is truly clean? Can any one of you say that? I am here, the clean person. I will sprinkle you. When Isaiah saw the throne of God in Isaiah 6, did he not rejoice and praise and say, praise the Lord, I've seen the throne? His reaction was, what? I'm a clean person? I'm a person with clean lips and I have much to say to you? Was this his reaction? No. He said, I'm a person of unclean lips and I live even in the midst of an unclean people. So his awareness was, he is not clean. Only if he humbles himself in front of the Lord and consciously takes the cleaning process, then he was able to make himself free from sin. We all need the stream of life. So the question is, how is it with our relationship to the Lord? Is our relationship to the Lord filled with life? I'm not speaking about during the meeting. I'm speaking about our personal life. Is there a stream of life, of water of life, clear as crystal every day? Not just in the morning for 10 minutes in the morning watch, and then the stream stops. It flows for 10 minutes, and then it stands for several minutes in a pond. That doesn't work. In Revelation 22, the stream flows out of the throne and it doesn't stop flowing. And in Ezekiel 44, it increases. The stream goes higher and higher. So if I myself, in my relationship to the Lord, I'm not alive and the stream of life can flow through me all the time, then how can I be a pure person? A clean person, a pure and clean person needs living water. And the Lord said, if we believe in him, as the scripture says, then from the inner streams of living water will flow. But we can look at our own personal relationship to the Lord. How alive is it? Are we alive or are we already dead and still just come to the meeting? The requirement for such a pure person is that he has the stream of water of life at all times. It is not easy to be such a person. He needs to take Usopp, that was mentioned before. So, but if we think, oh, I'm the clean one now and I can save you all from death, then it's not with Usopp. I don't know what it is, but it's not Usopp. A clean person needs to take Usopp. It's not so easy to fulfill such a procedure. I can't just walk around you all and look at who's dead and then I just sprinkle you. It's not that easy. And then even on the third day, that means he needs to wait till the third day. Often we are so quick in our reaction. If we see something, we realize something that is not working or is not right, we immediately react. We can't wait till the third day. We react on the first day after 5 minutes, but this will bring forth death. After 5 minutes, death is still there. Even on the second day, he's still there. It is truly astonishing to cleanse a dead person. You cannot just do something immediately. You have to wait till the third day. Can we wait till resurrection? Till we ourselves are clear in front of the Lord what is to do? till we ourselves stand in the life of resurrection and are filled with the life. Because at the end, else instead of sprinkling someone, we drown them. This doesn't work. It needs to be sprinkled on the third day. So it's so wonderful to go to the Lord before we do anything and to spread it out in front of the Lord and wait till the third day has come. Even with Lazarus, the Lord waited. The Lord waited till he died for such a long time, even though they asked him before to come. Yeah, said, Master, come, Lazarus is sick, is ill. The Lord said, wait. What did he wait for? He waited till death was there completely spread. What a Christ, he can wait. He doesn't fear death. The Lord didn't go there immediately and did something. He waited. But with Lazarus, not even till he died, but till he started to rot and smell. That's when how long the Lord waited. But then the Lord went there and said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? This is so wonderful. The Lord waited till resurrection of Christ was able to come into life, a light completely. If he's still alive, then he doesn't need the resurrection, he just needs some healing. But the Lord wants to show us that we need the strength of his resurrection, the power of his resurrection. So therefore it's so important, if we realize that somewhere dead has entered, that we ourselves at first go to the Lord and cleanse ourselves in front of the Lord and take care of our mumbling and our rebellion against the word. We start to speak so quickly, it's unbelievable. Our mouth is so quickly, especially then when it's about spreading death. Then it's difficult to keep your mouth shut. I read a verse to this in Preacher 20, verse 19. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. This is someone who's so quick with his lips. He can't keep his lips shut. Can we keep our mouth shut? It's not so easy. I speak out of experience. Can you keep your mouth shut if there's something to be spoken? A talebearer is like a salesman. So he has a lot to say, especially if it's about the product that he's selling. So immediately you know what is on his heart of a salesman. That's his nature, because he needs to sell things. So if there in our heart is uncleanliness, then we are not a clean person because we haven't gone through this procedure, then it will come out. And it is impossible to keep our mouth shut. Therefore, it is so important that we ourselves tell the Lord, Lord, I need deep cleaning. I want to be freed in every part and aspect of death. The cow was burnt in all parts, not just the skin or the head, but even to the dung. This shows that death entered into us in every area, and to clean all of this is not so easy. This needs a deep relationship to the Lord, a deep relationship where we put all of this in front of the Lord and let it be cleaned and washed away. If this relationship is not there to the Lord, then sooner or later death will come forth, and this death will spread out. It's unfortunate that the stream of life doesn't spread as quickly as the death. Somebody read Haggai And as is really fitting, he asks the priest there, if there's something clean and you touch something unclean with it, does it become holy? Priest immediately knew it's impossible, and then Haggai asked, what about a dead person? If someone touches a dead person and then touches something with that, for example, a meal, does it become unclean? What was the answer? Yes, it becomes unclean. So this shows that unholiness and uncleanness are contagious. Sanctification, unfortunately, is not. But I thank the Lord for the ash of the red heifer. We have such a wonderful word today, which shows us how to make use of this cleaning water. And we ourselves need to come to the Lord in our relationship to Him and tell the Lord, Lord, let this cleaning water come upon me. I don't want any death in me. I don't want to spread death in any way. No matter if it's a fresh death or something that's dead for a long time. All these things the Lord needs to deal with in us at first. If any of this is still in us, how can we sprinkle cleaning water on anyone else? It's impossible. So thank the Lord for the third day. The third day is the day of resurrection, and then even a second time on the seventh day. So we need to wait a bit again. Often we come and then after 5 minutes again and again and again, and we can't wait till the seventh day. But the Lord waits till the resurrection power was working. And when it was working in perfection after 7 days, then you have the complete purification of death. How wonderful. On the third and the seventh day, and so be cleaned on the seventh day. And he shall wash himself and his clothes, and then he'll be clean on the evening. But if someone is unclean, and he doesn't want to clean himself, that's the problem. It's not that it's not possible, but if you don't want, then what is there to do? That person shall be cut off from among the assembly, because he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of purification has not been sprinkled on him. He is unclean. Do you see how serious this word of death is? And this is an eternal commandment. The one who sprinkled the water, even he needs to clean his clothes. And he who touched the cleaning water shall be unclean until the evening. This shows how contagious death is. And I thank the Father for the revelation about the red heifer. And I think it's right now we have so many opportunities to make use of this. If we stand in the relationship with the Lord, then this, we need to let the stream of water of life wash all these uncleanness away. We need to make use of this cleaning water. So the Lord seeks those so that he can get the priesthood, the priestly service amongst us. It is impossible for the priests to serve with contact of death. So how important is it for us to practice this word?